Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's June 5th, 2009, and this is episode 198. Way back in April 2007, I released episode 84 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, in which I spoke about 10 items that I would really not like to be without in my photography. Just over 2 years have passed, and I have a few more things that I feel compelled to talk about today. It's difficult to find another 10, but there are a number of things that I would like to show you. And I'll update you as well on the things from that first podcast, and you know whether or not I'm still using them 2 years on is really a true test of whether something is useful or not. Before we get into the main topic, I'd like to say a big thank you to our sponsors, WebSpy, the internet monitoring, analysis and reporting specialists. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on all purchases. Let's first recap what was on my list 2 years ago. If you want to check the images of the things that we talked about on that earlier podcast, if you're near a computer, go to martinbaileyphotography.com and type 84 in the go to episode number field and under the podcast menu, and then click on the button or hit enter. You'll see the thumbnails for the images of the 10 things that we talk about first today. The first thing that I spoke about 2 years ago was my Angle Finder C. This is an accessory from Canon that you attach to the viewfinder of your camera to allow you to look down into the camera from above or from the sides at pretty much any angle. I still carry this with me whenever I go out shooting. I perhaps don't use it quite as much as I used to because I now use Live View quite a lot. That's one thing that's been new over this last few years. But still, you know, shooting with the camera right down at a low angle for macro work and things like that, I just generally tend to reach for the angle finder. I also talked about a little spirit level that goes in the flash shoe on the top of the camera to help get the camera straight. I actually lost the one in the photo that we looked at a few years ago. If I recall, I lost it in the snow during last winter. I since bought two more. I hated not having the bubble for the rest of the trip on which I lost it, so I now carry two of these, just in case. I also sometimes shoot with two bodies, both on tripods, so having two comes in handy at those sort of times as well. I'm still using the Gipit, or I don't know what you call it, Gipit card safe extreme memory card cases. These have actually become more useful since I bought the 1DS Mark III because it also uses SD cards, which, although I swore I would never use, since they've become much faster, I now have three. The beauty of the memory cases that I have is that you can put both SD cards and CF memory cards in the same slot, so I can have up to four CF and four SD cards in the same case. So I'm getting sort of more out of these cameras now that I have both types of cards over this last few years. I still carry the filter removers that I mentioned, but I don't think I've actually used them in the last few years. The thing about these, though, is as soon as I don't take them with me, you can be sure that I'll get a filter stuck. I'm sure that these inanimate objects that we own are all able to communicate in some way, so they know when something's gone wrong. And if one of them's out there, you know, I think they can just sense when you're vulnerable. I've used the Stofen OmniBounce a few times over the last few years, though I've not done a lot of shooting where I needed the diffused on-camera flash. I find that this most useful when I need diffused light either directed straight at the subject or bounced off a wall or ceiling. It's usually for when I'm doing relatively fast-paced shooting as well. If I recall, the last time I used this was on the assignment last August when I photographed the lacquer gatherer out in the trees and in the woods. I needed to use on-camera flash, but I didn't want to get any of those nasty harsh shadows, so I think that's the last time I used this. My compass still gets plenty of use. I used it most recently when I was trying to get a lining up, you know, when I was waiting for the moon to rise, when I shot that torii over the sea, the, you know, the Shinto gate. I used it to line up where the moon would rise based on the azimuth that I found in my favorite iPhone app, VelaClock. That's where, you know, basically tells me where the moon is going to rise. I still use the blower that we see in the images, and I actually recently bought a smaller one that goes into my pouch that I use whenever I'm out and about. The big one that we looked at in episode 84 is more for when I'm sort of cleaning gear at home before going out on a shoot. Wimberly's Plamp, the plant clamp, still goes out with me whenever I am going to be doing macro work. And this is, it's used to basically clamp the stem of a flower without harming it. And you sort of clamp the other end to your tripod leg to stop the plant from swaying around in the breeze. And I have two, and I still use them quite a lot. Again, for macro work, especially with the 65mm 1-5x macro lens from Canon, I still use my focusing rails from Really Right Stuff that we also looked at. The walk stool goes out with me when I'm shooting flowers or when I might be sitting around for long periods, maybe waiting for birds to show, etc. The walk stool's light, but it has like these telescopic legs so that they can be, you know, you can use it very low or you extend the legs out to a normal sitting height, and it's relatively comfortable. It can save your back when you're shooting in awkward positions, and, you know, so it's definitely still part of my kit. Actually, looking at my notes, I see that I also mentioned the YBAL, which takes us to 11 things. The YBAL is still very much a part of my workflow when I have to get the white balance totally accurate. I mentioned this just last week, in fact. It's a great tool. So let's move on to five things that I wanted to talk about today. The first thing is something that I mentioned I was thinking about buying in the last podcast in April 2007, and it's a pair of knee pads. The images for the next five things are on my blog at blog.martinbaileyphotography.com. There's a link to the actual blog post in the show notes, and they are also in the enhanced version of the podcast if you're listening in iTunes or on an iPod. These knee pads are made by a company called Hatch, and as you can see from the image, they've got a lot of use. I take these out whenever I'm going to be shooting flowers or macro shots, and generally strap them on when I'm going to be kneeling a lot. The reason I use these is twofold. Firstly, I'm trying to protect my trousers. I often end up sort of kneeling on rough surfaces, gravel, tree roots and things, and now these can gradually damage your trousers. Also, though, when you're carrying too much weight like I am, uneven surfaces can actually be quite painful on the knees. And even if the surfaces are relatively smooth, kneeling on a hard surface for a long time can start to hurt after a while. I made a comment on a Focus Ring podcast many moons ago that I look like a 40-year-old fat skateboarder with these on. And nothing's changed except that now I look like a 42-year-old fat skateboarder. Still, like my shooting vest, I'd rather look a little bit silly than lose shots because my knees hurt or something like that. Or just not kneeling down because I was worried about ripping my trousers. All of the new things that I talk about today will also have links in the show notes, by the way. Next up is the Black Rapid R-Strap, or R-Strapped. I actually bought two of these before going to Hokkaido this year. The R-Strap is a great camera strap that you actually screw directly into the tripod mount screw thread on the body of the camera or the tripod mount ring on larger lenses. I actually have plates on all of my cameras and bodies. Basically, because I use the Really Right Stuff plates, though, they have a screw thread, so I can screw directly into the plate, which saves me from having to take the plate off every time I use my R-straps. It's very important in my opinion, because you really don't want to be messing around with plates all the time. I want to be able to unscrew the R-strap and put the lens and camera on a tripod pretty quickly too. There was a downside of the R-strap originally, and that was that if you unscrewed the strap and left it hanging around your shoulder, the large knurled nut that you used to tighten the R-strap in place came loose and would fall to the floor without you realizing it. I lost one of mine in Hokkaido this year, and I think that I recall Forrest Tanaka, one of our community members, saying that he lost his as well. The new R-straps no longer have this problem, I think. The R-straps are now shipping with a Fasten R2, or Fastener 2, which incorporates a rubber washer that looks like, from the photo, it's pretty much stuck on there and probably won't fall off. Black Rapid have also updated the connector that's used between, you know, it's used to connect the strap and the Fasten R2. This is now called the Connect R2. And it looks like it has a better locking system than the old one. You know, the old one, you basically had to slide a piece of rubber hose over the clip to stop it from opening, you know, potentially sending your camera crashing to the floor. I bought two of these straps because I wanted to be able to carry two cameras at once, but ever the innovators, Black Rapid recently released the RS-DR1 double strap, which basically enables you to hang two bodies from the strap without having to sort of wear separate straps and crossed over your shoulders as I was doing. Using two straps, to be honest, was not all that comfortable. So I'm really pleased to see the double strap and have promptly ordered one, along with some replacement fastener and connectors for my original R straps. I'm going to keep them as well, as I will continue to use the single R straps when I don't carry two bodies. I'll only use one at a time, of course, because, you know, when I carry two bodies, I'll use the double strap from now on. Great innovation here, though, from Black Rapid. And once again, it, you know, this is proof of that my impatience and eagerness to jump onto new technology pretty much cost me more money than necessary as things get innovated. Before we move on, I wanted to take a look at a second photo of one of my R straps, which I've customized a little. I bought a really Right Stuff quick release clamp and bought some bits and bobs from the local hardware store to allow me to hook a quick release clamp to the R-strap. One of the things that I still don't like about the R-strap is that you have to spend time screwing it on and off. And, you know, although it's not many seconds, it's a pain when you want to switch from sort of using the R-strap to shooting from a tripod, which I do pretty regularly, especially when shooting wildlife. Next up is the LED lenser or LED lenser flashlight. We looked at a photograph of this little beauty last week, but I've posted the photograph again in today's podcast blog post. My LED lenser, I don't know how this is supposed to be said. It uses LEDs, so it's probably LED lenser, but it's LED lenser sounds better. My flashlight is it's a P7. I chose this based on price performance. There's a huge range, and again, you know, there'll be links in the show notes. The main use that I have for this flashlight is to shine it onto somewhat distant objects to aid autofocus. The great thing about this flashlight is that it has what they call a speed focus mechanism, where basically you can push or pull the front of the flashlight back and forth, and as you do so, it focuses the light into either a small, narrow beam that goes a long way, or a broader but slightly weaker beam. There are also two brightness modes. The button to turn the flashlight on is on the back, so you push it with your thumb as you hold it. And if you push and hold the button down, the beam stays sort of bright. But then as you let go of the button, it drops down to a slightly dimmer mode initially. If you want the brightest mode full time, you push the button again and then let go. And then a third push of the button turns the flashlight off. Because the light is created with LEDs and not conventional bulbs, the light is pretty cool. So, color temperature wise, it's really cool, but you know what I'm saying. So basically, I've actually used this to pop a little bit of light into a macro shot. I didn't like the image because of other reasons, so I didn't post it to my gallery, but it's a viable use for this flashlight in my opinion. Also, of course, there's the option of doing a little bit of sort of painting with light with the P7. It's definitely powerful enough for that. I have a small LED headlamp that I use when I need to use, you know, when I need to illuminate my equipment in the dark to change settings and change lenses, etc. And I'll continue to use that. The old powerful flashlight that I used to use for focusing on distant objects was pretty bulky and uses big standard batteries and the standard bulbs. And, you know, I didn't really like that so much. It was pretty heavy. The batteries didn't last long. So it really wasn't, and because it was so bulky, it wasn't something that I could just sort of put in my pocket. The LED Lenser P7 comes with a case that we can see in the photo, though. It's got a belt loop. You can put it onto your belt and it pretty much makes it disappear until you need it. It has an effective range, from the website at least. I've not measured this, of course, but it has an effective range of 738 feet or 225 meters and has a very, very bright light. But despite the power of this thing, it's rated to give me 78 hours of light with three AAA batteries, which I think is just amazing. You can also use rechargeable batteries too, which helps to keep us sort of green. I really like to avoid using disposable batteries, and now that rechargeable batteries are so powerful, it's again a very valid option. I've mentioned this a few times in the forum, but I don't think I've ever really spoken about my photographer's vest in the podcast. I actually have two of these photographer's vests that are identical, both equally worn and faded. I have two because I sometimes use the vests on long multi-day shooting trips and I want to be able to change it out during the trip, especially during the warmer seasons where you can get a bit sweaty sometimes. I use two identical vests so that I don't get disoriented when I switch. If they had different pocket layouts or different types of fasteners, etc., then you know I would almost certainly get confused and I might not be able to get to a piece of kit as quickly as I'd like to and may even end up missing the shot. Very similar to always putting your lenses in the same position in your camera bag to keep things consistent, I guess. I can fit large lenses like the 70-200 f/2.8 in the inside flaps of the vest, and my standard zooms like the 24-70 or the 100mm macro lens fit nicely into the front pockets. I generally get to my location with the gear in my camera bag and then take out the lenses that I think I'm most likely to use and then put them into the vest pockets, often along with a 1.4x extender and extension tubes. And, then I generally just shoot mainly from the pockets, only going back to the bag for things that I didn't anticipate needing initially. My vests also have a mesh back with a full cloth back that can be removed during the warmer months. Without that, I really wouldn't be able to use this during the summer. It gets very hot here in Japan. Next up is my Jitso Four Season jacket. As we get into the summer, it's probably not the best time to talk about this one. But again, for the Hokkaido trip this year, I bought a Jitso jacket, which when used with good fleeces and warm undershirts, etc., is really quite warm due to the windproofing and some light. It's got limited padding there. Jitso also does a fleece that goes with the jacket for full winter warmth, but I didn't get one of those. I have enough sort of standard fleeces, which I quite like and didn't want to add any extra unnecessary layers. The cool thing about the Jitso Four Season jacket is that it's basically a camera bag that you wear. There are large pockets on each side at the front that, when expanded, can actually take two large lenses each, so you can stick a 70-200 in there, and if you had say a 100-400, you could put both in one pocket. Large front pockets. There are plenty of other pockets for other knickknacks as well, including large inside pockets that I use for keeping lens cloth, spare batteries, filters and just about anything else that I usually keep in my bag. The coat is pretty long, so it also has like these zipped flaps on the sides to allow you to get into the inside pockets and to your own trouser pockets as well, without having to unzip the front of the coat. These zips allow you to kneel down and without putting stress on the jacket as well. Probably, you'd end up ripping the seams if you knelt down to shoot in the coat with everything done up. There's a whole bunch of other features too, like a flap that comes out of the hood to cover your camera when it's raining. And there are protective padding on the elbows for when you get down on the ground. There's also padding on the shoulders to make carrying your camera or anything else heavy, to really take the weight off your shoulders there, make your shoulders feel a little bit more comfortable. There are reflectors and press badges included too. Jitso really did think of everything when designing these jackets. So are they a photographer's dream jacket? Not yet. Unfortunately, Jitso decided to scrimp on the quality of the zips. Two of the zips on my jacket were constantly jamming, and especially when you're out in cold weather, it was simply not possible to unjam these zips on occasion. It wasn't because of the cold, of course. They jammed indoors as well. And to be honest, this drove me crazy in Hokkaido this year. Another participant also bought one of these jackets for the trip and had exactly the same problems, so it's definitely a flaw with the jackets. If Jitso were going to go to the trouble to create something that does promise to be the photographer's dream jacket, surely they could have come up with, or gone with the extra mile and made sure that all of the components of the jacket were top quality, especially when they're charging top dollar for these things. If anyone from Jitso ever listens to this podcast, the only way that you're going to get me to fully endorse this product is to allow me to send you my jacket and replace the zips for better quality ones. You might think that I'm being hypocritical by including this jacket in the things that I would not like to be without, but I do tend to agree with you. It is a little bit hypocritical. Having said that, if the zips were better quality, then this would really be a winner. Finally, I wanted to mention my Really Right Stuff long lens support. One of the biggest problems with long lenses is that they shudder when you release the shutter, and this sometimes results in some of the images shot being a little bit soft or even blurry. When shooting with my 600mm f4, which is the lens that we can see in the pictures on the blog, I usually put my hand over the top of the lens and apply a little bit of downward pressure to help prevent this shudder. And at the same time, I put my finger on the button near the front of the lens as I have my camera set up to toggle between one shot and AI servo focus. Applying some downward weight does help, but I still wanted something more to stop that shudder. And then one day, I was browsing through the Really Right Stuff's catalogue, and I saw the long lens support that you see here. This basically enables you to support the lens not only from the lens collar, but also from the front. You adjust the height of the support at the front, so that it pushes the lens up a little bit. And, that's enough to greatly reduce the shudder and to help you get tack sharp images. That thing that you see on touching the front of the lens as well, they have rubber wheels there. And so when you loosen the lens collar or the tripod collar, you can still turn the lens into portrait mode without sort of marking it or anything. It's really, really well designed. I still put my hand over the top of the lens when I'm shooting wildlife, but this is really, the long lens support has really improved sharpness. The support can be used with the 300mm f2.8 and even with the 70-200 f2.8 lens if you put the front support there against the lens hood and not the lens. It's not as necessary, of course, with the 70-200, but I believe with the 300mm f2.8, it is a relatively long lens, and I believe that you get a bit of benefit from using this support there too. I don't use it all the time with the shorter lenses though, but it's now a permanent feature when I'm shooting with the 600mm f4. You'll also notice from the additional two images that once balanced on the Wimberley head, you can effortlessly swing the whole setup around, and when you let go, it stays exactly where it is. It's perfectly balanced. You can do this, of course, with just the Wimberley head, but you know, the point is that even when you use this long lens support, you can still do that. And it, you know, it helps also to be able to do that because I use the Really Right Stuff replacement foot for the 600mm f4 as well. And this lowers the total height of the lens slightly. The foot that comes with the 600mm is a little higher, and it makes balancing this the whole thing, including the long lens support, a little bit more difficult. It all just gets a little bit too high. So that's it though for today. There are a few things that I thought about adding there but didn't. I was thinking actually about the better beamer. There's actually a little sort of notch on the front of that replacement foot from Really Right Stuff where you can attach their thing that sort of allows you to take the better beamer strobe off the top, you know, from off the front of the camera and put it over the lens. Again, great balance. Now, I'm not going to go into that today because, to be honest, I don't use the better beamer as much as I should to be able to talk about it, you know, with any confidence. So I'm not going to go into that today, and I just need to sort of really use that a little bit more before I say it's one of the things that I can't do without. I'll definitely do a follow-up at some point though, as I do use it more and feel more comfortable there, you know, that I'm really using it. There are a few other things as well, like my you know, my backdrop stand and the, you know, a few of the things that I use for studio setups, but you know, really, they're all things that I like to have, and they're useful, but you know, don't really at the moment sort of come into the things that this again, like the better beamer, I don't use them that often. They're not really sort of things that are a major part of my photography. So the things that I've spoken about today really are the things that I wouldn't like to be without. So I hope that my follow-up on the initial items from 2007 and my new things that I'm finding useful was useful for you. I'd like to quickly apologise to anyone that came by the site, any of my sites over the last few days. There's been a lot of problems with DNS, you know, the way people sort of link the common names that we type in the computer to the IP addresses that the computers use. It's basically a system for mapping all of these things together, and it got in a real mess over the last few days. It wasn't anything that I did. I was actually asleep when it all went wrong. But, you know, it all got messed up, and it's taken a few days to get it sorted out, working with the support team at my providers and things. I think it's all done now, but, you know, it took a little bit of work. So sorry about that if you came by and everything was down. Remember that voting is now turned on for the June assignment, which was Everything in Focus. That will run until the 14th of July, the voting, that is. So please come along to the mbpgalleries.com website and cast your votes on the great images that everyone has uploaded. Also note that the July assignment theme has been set, and it is backlit but not a silhouette. So I'm thinking that, you know, your main subject needs to be backlit, but you should expose for your main subject, even if that means that the brighter background totally blows out. You know, your main subject should be exposed nicely. So this is going to really get you thinking about exposure. It's going to get you doing exposure compensation, or maybe even jumping into manual mode to take full control. So I'm trying to push you a little bit with this one, and I hope that you appreciate that. Entries should be uploaded to the gallery at mbpgalleries.com by the last day of July. Remember that they have to be taken during the month of July as well, 2009. When we'll, you know, after that, we'll start to do the voting again. for 2 weeks, and then we'll find out which three people made the best job of the assignment by being voted that into those lofty positions by your peers. Remember that there are three great prizes, courtesy of our sponsors, WebSpy, that we are going to be giving away to the person with the most accumulated votes at the end of the November assignment. So 6 months of assignments. We're going to accumulate all those votes up and give three great prizes to the top three people that have the most votes. You don't even have to win an individual assignment to be in with a chance of winning. If you're consistent and continue to get a fair few votes for each assignment, even if you don't win, you can still be in there with a good chance. And everyone is a winner at the end of the day, because just taking part, it's almost certainly gonna make you a better photographer. So thanks once again to WebSpy for making these prizes available and for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Again, to find out more about WebSpy products, visit the webspy.com/MBP, that's our landing page, and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on all purchases. It's time to sign off for now though, so you have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.